You know, life is not all about just moving forward. Most of us, as we live our life, do move forward, but every now and then there are roadblocks that come into that progress as we are moving forward in our lives. And you know what's interesting? The Bible talks in a number of places about dealing with those roadblocks, dealing with those times that come into our lives. For example, it could affect you health-wise. You could be going along doing great, great things, being all on top of the world, and then all of a sudden, just like that, something with your health. Maybe it could be a torn rotator cuff. Maybe a knee. I don't know. It could be all those things. Health issues. It could be cancer. It could be all those things. Maybe it's something at your job or your work. As you're working and things are going along really well, then all of a sudden, a change in either management or philosophy of the organization, and it kind of leaves you wondering. Maybe you even lose your job over it. It could happen. How do you handle setbacks like that? How do you deal with those things that can come into your life from just a number of different areas? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're continuing a series until I go on vacation here entitled My Favorites. And today we're going to talk about a comeback for a setback. A comeback for a setback. And we're going to be in the New Testament book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 30 in our study this morning. Paul, the apostle, had received an offering and he was taking it to some church leaders. He arrived at this city and not long after that was put in jail. And in jail, some things happened and he was transferred from that jail all the way to Rome. Now he had plans to do all kinds of other things, but at that point there was a roadblock. And literally a setback. He was under house arrest, and this continued for quite a period of time. Now, how did the Apostle Paul handle that setback, being put in jail, transferred to Rome, and then being under house arrest? Now, his might be a little different than yours, but it could. You know, how do you handle those things? What did he do during this time? You know, the tendency of a lot of us is to have the pity party, woe is me, everything's bad, doom and gloom. Now let's look at what Paul did, how he handled his setback, and what is there for us today. So, my favorites, this is actually probably one of my favorite messages in the New Testament, as we continue on in that series. Philippians chapter 1, Paul greets them. Paul tells them he loves them, and Paul prays for them. That's the first verses going down to verse 11. That's fairly typical of Paul. Now he gets into some other issues, and let's look at this, beginning at verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What has happened to me is just what I described to you. Put in jail, transferred to Rome, under house arrest. He couldn't do anything that he wanted to do. What has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. Now, what I want you to see, first of all, in verse 12, there is not a pity party here. There is not a woe is me. I'm down. I want everybody to know I'm down. I'm depressed. Look at me. Woe is me. No. That is not what Paul did. Now, there may be times when we have some of those moments, and we all will and can, but Paul didn't start that way. Paul said, look what has happened. The gospel has advanced. Now, what he's going to do is explain. Verse 13, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. The palace guard. For prisoners under house arrest, they had to be chained to a guard. And there was a special unit that would carry out this responsibility. This is a Praetorian guard or the palace guard. These were the men of men in the Roman Empire and the Roman army. And they would have the responsibility of guarding people, prisoners. And so what would happen is in this, they would take a shackle and shackle it around either your arm or your ankle, and you would be shackled to this guard. And these were 12-hour shifts. If you can imagine such a thing, with a chain that wasn't too long, but there was room. So, it's interesting, Paul would be chained, and Paul was probably anxious to be chained to these individuals. And, what happened at the Colosseum last night? Well, we can talk about that for a little bit with the guard, and what's the weather like. But, after about 30 minutes, the small talk's gone. Where do you think Paul would go after that? Christ. Let me tell you about someone who really cares about you. You're a soldier. You take orders. You lead. You have a responsibility. What happens in battle, though, if you were to be killed? If you were to die, what do you believe? And he would start maybe like that. I don't know. Something like that. And he would go on. Now, it's interesting. Paul was chained to these individuals. This is the first example of prison ministry in the Bible. And he had a very captive audience. Amen. Isn't that great? This is prison ministry. Chuck Colson didn't start it. Paul did. A number of years ago before Chuck Colson. So he starts talking to them and sharing with them. Now, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Turn to chapter 4, that's one page over, and look at verse 22. Final greetings is a little subheading there. 22, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. In the opportunity to share, a number of these guards came to faith in Christ. In his situation, he led palace guards to Christ. He could have had the worst attitude. He could have had a pity party. He could have just been downright cantankerous and ornery. But no, look what he did. In his setback, he shared the gospel. What an example for us. Let's go on. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Others heard about it. Other Christians say, you know what? If Paul can talk to them, we can talk to those who God puts in our lives and share with them. It is true. Now he's going to talk about some other things related to this. It is true, verse 15, that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. So you got people that preach him for wrong motives. 16, the latter do so in love. Those in goodwill are doing it in love. They care about people, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former, those that preach him out of envy and rivalry, preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So there were believers that were preaching and sharing their faith for wrong reasons. Maybe they wanted to be the next Paul. I don't know. Maybe they were envious of Paul. Who knows? Who cares? Because look at Paul's response to that as we continue. But what does it matter, verse 18? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. And yes, I will continue to rejoice. He says, I don't care. Just that Christ is preached, even with wrong motives, that Christ is preached. What Paul is doing here is modeling something that is absolutely amazing. You go through a hard time, I go through a hard time. It can focus on us, who we are, what we're not getting, how somebody's done us wrong, all these things. Or, when you hit that roadblock, you can follow Paul's example. And his first thing, let's go to your outline now. On a setback, a comeback for a setback is this. Realize that I don't care what your circumstances are, you need to proclaim the gospel. Most of us probably will not be in prison. Most of us probably will not be under house arrest. It doesn't matter what you go through. Medically, if you have a problem, if you experience something on your job, you need to proclaim the gospel. You need to be sharing the good news, even in your hard time. I think that may be one of the true tests of a real Christian. An authentic believer who's devoted, fully devoted to Jesus Christ. They are sharing Christ even in their hard time, in their difficult time. The natural reaction is not to do that. It's to kick up dust and create problems and tell everybody how I'm being treated so unjustly and unfairly and woe is me. Paul said, don't even go there. Follow my example. Proclaim the gospel.
So,
all of you, including me, at some time in our life, will go through setbacks. When you do, here's what I suggest. You go through your setback, you pray about it, you continue to proclaim the gospel, whether it's an invitation to Vacation Bible School, whether it's inviting them to come to church, whether it's an event, you at least start the process of proclaiming the gospel. Do not ever, ever, ever stop doing that. I don't care what your circumstances are. Paul didn't. He was in chains and facing death, and he didn't. Proclaim the gospel. You know, the reason I chose to do this message, and I chose this message probably, I'm thinking about 6 or 7 weeks ago. All right, so I tore my rotator cuff. You know what? Enough of that. We tore it. It's bad. But I started through rehab. 30 sessions I have been in. I finished this week. And I praise God for the opportunity. And I knew this message was coming, and I said, and I have been doing this at the physical therapy place that I work at. And I've shared a little bit of this with you. A couple weeks ago, you had the opportunity to meet Alana. She is the physical therapist who has worked with me. She's got a very neat co-worker named Wayne, but he has just turned off to religion. Oh, gosh. Finally, he took a couple little... They found out I was a pastor. Eventually, it comes out, and then they don't know how to act, so I just try and act normal. You know, that's a thing. Whoa, let's do these exercises, and everybody raise their... No, come on, just be real. You know, I think that, I don't know what they thought. So anyway, Wayne started warming up to me a little bit. But he would give me these little shots, and I think I related this maybe a couple weeks ago. I said, Wayne, listen to me. When you go into a car repair shop, you feel like you're going to be taken advantage of, don't you? He said, yeah, most of the time I do. I said, but there are good car repair shops, aren't there? He said, yeah, there are. I said, yes, I know of some too. I said, Wayne, when you look at church and you think of what's on TV, because that's what you're telling me, are all churches that way, Wayne? Are all of us as pastors weird with big hair? He said, no, you're not. I said, then don't group me together with everything else. Come and see, Wayne. Come and see. That's what I've said to him. We'll see if he comes and sees. Mark is another one there. He is a believer, and we've had some good discussions. Another one, and I can't think of her name, Lori. Lori's asked me for my card. The point of this is, I don't care what you go through. You take the opportunity. And this, I think, for a reason, is a setback. There are things I wanted to be doing, more things, and I can't. Physically, I can't. And so, when you go through times that are difficult and hard, use it as an opportunity to share the gospel. Do not stop doing that. And hopefully we'll see some of those folks visit us. And I would be excited about that. The point is, you have a setback. It's not about you. It's about proclaiming the gospel, first of all. Yes, you will have some issues. Yes, I have struggled with this. Yes, I have had my moments. And so have you and your particular struggle. But it's about going on and proclaiming the gospel. Well, what else does he say? He says this. Why does he act that way? Verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. All right, he says, thank you for your prayers. And I have appreciated people praying for me too, and they've told me that. Thank you. It will turn out for my deliverance. The word here has two ideas. Salvation now, that I have salvation in Christ, but it refers more, and it can be also used to the salvation from the power and the presence of sin in heaven. So what has turned out for my deliverance now has to do with my faith in Christ, being saved with Christ, but in the future my whole presence will be with the Lord in heaven. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. That Christ will be exalted in my body. And I think Paul gives us a second part of this. You go through a hard time. The problem is with most believers, we struggle with things that happen to us that we don't feel are just and right. We act as bad as unbelievers. Paul says, don't do that. magnify, glorify Christ with your life. On your outline, second point here is this. Determine to glorify God no matter what. I don't care what it is. Determine to glorify God no matter what comes into your life. What circumstance, situation, thing that happens. What happens is when you go through a hard time, the stuff underneath comes out, folks. The stuff that's buried starts to come out. And we all struggle with that. It's called sin. And it can manifest itself in attitudes and actions and things that are not honoring to God. Glorify God no matter what comes in your life. Let's talk about this on your outline as we continue with the next statement. What is your purpose in life? All right? What is your purpose? Number one, is it just all about you and pleasure? Because you know what? It's not going to be all about pleasure in life, because a lot of life is hard and it hurts at times. What is your purpose in life? Pleasure? What's the second one? Is it possessions? Acquiring and having those things? What is your purpose in life? The third one is position. Is it being all about me and leading and all of that? Or is your purpose to minister to sinners and saints? That's what it comes down to. What is your purpose in life? What I've tried to do here is just set up the idea that Paul said, glorify God with your life. It's not about your pleasure, all your possessions and your position. It is about ministering to sinners and saints. That is what you are to be about as His representative and as His follower. Such an amazing thing. This is what Paul is telling us as he goes through this section. Now what he's going to do in verses 21, beginning there, he's going to explain this a little bit more, the reason for the purpose. Verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." All right, how is dying gain for a believer? Dying is gain in that you will go to heaven. That is what you need to do is put out to the side on your outline verse 21. This is one of the verses in the Bible that talks about dying to be with Christ. When you die, you will be with Christ. This is one of the key references in the New Testament. It tells us when we die, we go to be with Christ. We're going to see a couple of other statements here in just a minute. If I am to go on living in the body, verse 22, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. Verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart, die, and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, or remain with you. He explains his purpose for life. I'm going to glorify God no matter what I do. I'd rather depart, die, and go to heaven and be with Christ. But yet, what is more important is that I stay with you, encourage you, strengthen you, build you up in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. Verse 21 and verse 23, if you just tie them together, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. When a believer dies, they leave this shell. Their spirit, their soul, the real part of them goes to heaven to be with Christ. But this physical body remains in and on the earth. When you die, you go to be with Christ. All right, Philippians 1, 21 is a key verse talking about that. Let's go to verse 27. He kind of wraps it up now in verse 27. Whatever happens, my job's not going well. Whatever happens. My wife's not treating me well. My husband's not treating me well. My job's not fair. Things are happening to me that aren't right. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I think in the book of Philippians, this is the key verse, Philippians 1:27. Purpose, to conduct yourselves worthy of Christ. In the book of Philippians, a huge theme is joy and rejoicing. Clearly it is. This is a key verse in my opinion, though. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live like a citizen of heaven right now, that whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Amen. We're in one spirit. We're contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. We are sharing the gospel, giving the gospel out, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. You will feel opposition when you're contending, you're giving the gospel out. This is a sign to them. This is an interesting verse. That they will what? Be destroyed. Be very careful about stopping the gospel. There are verses in the New Testament, this is one of them, that is a very strong one. There's another one in Thessalonians that's very strong that talks about don't mess with people giving the gospel out, but that you will be saved and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. Paul is suffering to a degree in this situation. You follow Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer. It will happen. Part of living the Christian life involves suffering and things happening and dealing with them in your heart and in your life. But to suffer for Him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. All right. This is very, very interesting and fascinating. Setbacks are going to come. You have a choice as a follower of Jesus Christ how you're going to handle a setback. You can go to this side over here and have it all about me and what I am and what I'm not and what they've done. That's what it can be about. Or you can follow the example of Paul, who is following the example of Christ, and say, you know what? I'm going to face setbacks, but it will not keep me from doing some things in my walk with God. The first one is to proclaim the gospel. The second one is to glorify God no matter what happens. The third is to conduct yourselves worthy of Christ. Christ's example is key. And what Paul modeled for us here is real life. Because you're going to face them, and they're going to come, and you need to understand that. You're going to need to conduct yourselves in a way that honors Him. All right, last couple statements on your outline. Here's some key thoughts in wrapping this all up. Have unity. Have unity. Here it's talking about in sharing your faith with others. Have unity. Go forth together. Share your faith. Have unity in what you're doing. Second, a key thought tied into this, share the gospel. Well, you know what? And I thought some of this, and this was really bad. This happened in 2005. And then it got worse in the fall of 2006. The fall of 2005. And then I knew I'd be doing this series a couple months ago. And I said, there's no way I can get up in front of this church and give this message and not having shared the gospel. And I have. And I want you to know I am accountable to share the gospel too. God put me in a rehab center. And I had the opportunity and still have the opportunity to do that. I have one more week. Wherever you're at in your setback, use it as an opportunity to model Christ-like behavior and share the gospel. This is one of my favorite messages because it's so convicting. Because we don't want to do that. We want to... And other things that I will not demonstrate. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. This morning, Lord, maybe I'm coming to the end of a chapter in my life of experiencing some setbacks with help. Lord, thank you for this message for me, exactly for me in my life at this time. But I pray for those out here who have heard this message that are going forward and they may face a setback even this week. I pray that you will just strengthen and encourage them. Help them to remember these words. Thank you for your choice servant, Paul, in what He has done, in what He modeled, and what this amazing book of Philippians tells us. Lord, in all, that we would conduct ourselves worthy of You and glorify You in all that we do. In the good, it's easy, Lord, but in the hard times, help us to be that person. In Jesus' name, amen.